Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the show. I'm Rudolf Hooker's stunt double. Now, I said stunt, and you can get about space lights because all of the brightest stars are in here with me. Just not him. Who writes this crap? Anyway, joining me tonight are...
I'm Wilma Fingerdo, and I get space weather sent directly to my data slate. Oh.
I'm your Harkness.
Cold and dark again.
Oh, I'm your Harkness, and I'm feeling a bit bilious. Does that count as space weather?
I'm Norma Snuckers, and I've forgotten more about radio waves and the aurora than most people know. It's just a shame it was in the important stuff I forgot. 96.1 for Radio BBC Radio Cumbria, by the way.
And I'm Sandy Crevice. I was hoping for a riot so I could have a go at someone with this giant bar of Toblerone I picked up on my travels. It's pretty heavy. Feel this.
Right, stop it, or we'll put you back on the luggage carousel. I think we'd better make a start on the headlines before things get out of hand.
The sound of spheres.
What's a buff bat, you ask? Yes, I know.
It's all gone quiet. Too quiet.
Pets in need? Look no further than 0.22 light years away.
And Hutton is always in need. A BGS shenanigans.
Fresh on the heels of the can we do the Hutton run in under 30 minutes while at the same time cooking baked potatoes on the flight deck challenge, an eccentric group of commanders have been taking music making to galactic heights. Having dug out an old article from the early days of exploration of the Sol system, and in particular Earth's moon, an enterprising commander noted a number of comments about a crashed lunar module, causing the moon to ring like a bell. The seismometers installed between 1969 and 1977 recording shallow moon quakes caused by human activity ringing for nearly an hour after impacts were detected, a phenomenon that does not occur on atmospheric planets. Picking up a number of articles related to the tuning of traditional bell and clapper jobs as usually used in big towers that go bong on the hour, and doing a little mathematics, this scientific team determined that by using just the right amount of percussive force on moons of different sizes, they could quite literally create the music of the spheres. Cue a year-long exploration of the galaxy, firing probes at the surfaces of moons and measuring the ringing of them when impacted, via seismographs installed on the surface and detailed analysis of the effect on the local gravity of the moon, they've devised a number of complex formula that predict, based on composition size and, of course, bumpiness, what the ringing would sound like. As with a traditional bell on Earth, there are multiple tones to a ringing moon. First, there's the prime bong, the waves as a result of the initial impact. Then the tierce, also known as the minor third, the quint, perfect fifth, and of course the hum of the impact and the nominal. All very complicated. And there was born the galactic art of astrocampanology. Get enough moons of the correct size, composition, and bumpiness, and enough clappers to cause them to ring, and you've got a space carillon that can't be heard unless you tune into the right satellite frequency. What are they using as clappers? Asps. Asp clappers. We look forward to their rendition of the 1812 with real shipboard cannon and, of course, the symphony of a lot of big asp clappers slapping into moons and making them ring. We look forward to their next escapade, moon tuning, adjusting the topography of uninhabited moons to deliver just the right note. Moons being used for the teensy, tiny little bells. Whatever note they make with their ship impacts, we're sure they'll eventually manage to be flat.
In an unprecedented move that has left the galactic anti-Thargoid community scratching their heads, the Pilots Federation has announced that in a rare two-handed operation, they'd be swinging both the Nerf Bat and the Buff Bat at combat payouts. Next week's update will see some payouts drastically reduced, while others have been inexplicably increased, leading to widespread confusion among combatants. The AX pilots, who risk life, limb and sanity in skirmishes against the Thargoid menace, have reported they expect a significant decrease in earnings, or maybe an increase from certain high-risk engagements. Commanders engaging Thargoid scouts, for instance, are now finding their hard-earned combat bonds worth about as much as a space station's cafeteria coupon. It's like being paid in Monopoly credits, remarked one disgruntled pilot. Conversely, some engagements have seen their potential rewards soar to astronomical heights. Encounters with Thargoids now come with payouts so generous that some commanders are questioning the fiscal sanity of the Pilots Federation. I took down a Medusa and could almost afford my own starport, joked one veteran pilot, Smax McKenzie, moments before attempting to do exactly that. Norma Snockers, a resident expert on all things inexplicable, attempted to shed some light on the situation. Norma Snockers. Shedding light.
Flossie.
Flossie!
Yes, it appears the Pilots Federation is using a complex algorithm that combines Thargoid threat levels, pilot skill, and perhaps the phase of the moon to determine payouts.
He explained.
Or they might just be drawing numbers out of a hat. It's really hard to tell.
The community's response has been mixed. While some commanders are thrilled at the prospect of potentially lucrative encounters, others are frustrated by the unpredictability. The fluctuation in payouts has made it difficult for pilots to plan their finances, leading to a sharp increase in sales of budget fuel scoops and second-hand modules. In an attempt to clarify the new payout structure, the Pilots Federation have released a statement saying, "Our goal is to ensure that the rewards are balanced with the risks involved. We will continue to monitor and adjust payouts as necessary." This did little to alleviate the confusion, as many pilots are now unsure whether to equip their ships for battle or for an elaborate game of chance.
We have begun week 93 of Too Hot, Too Messy, the Hutton Trucker initiative to deliver mods, mitigating Hutton mugs and Centauri Megagin to every starport in the galaxy, and things are slowing. Initially, there was a lot of fanfare and mafficking, with commanders rushing off to secure their names against high-profile stations and amusingly named surface bases. But with time and the discovery that there were a lot more stations than we realised at first, numbers dropped off to leave a core of hardened and determined pilots. These headstrong few have been dropping their load at each and every place they could find a landing pad and a commodity market for nigh on 2 years, now flying everything from stripped out sidewinders to stuffed pythons and everything in between. So let's just take a moment to acknowledge everything they have done so far to stop the spread of mods across the inhabited space. Having said that, the shiftless, lazy bastards only delivered 329 mugs and gin last week. Well, I suppose it's the holiday season after all. That'll be all on New Africa. Oh, sorry, they'll be all on New Africa drinking a shot every time Mitron Hollow goes overhead while their flight suits go through an industrial dry cleaning and decontamination process. In all seriousness, well done to everyone who has contributed and those who continue to do so. There have been no new additions to the 1000 Club this week. NZGL is still the closest contender at 862 mugs and gin delivered. Commander Chicks is still at the top of the table with an astounding 25,000 mugs delivered. The approaches are moderately busy this week, with pad availability for small ships showing us, "Come on in, there's loads of room," and medium pads showing us, "I'll let you land this time, but Make it quick. There have been 7 hook and runs so far, including a new record from Stargoid at 29 minutes and 32 seconds. I mean, their ship's burnt to a crisp and the wings have melted off, but still. There are even a couple more from Hutton regulars in there. Deadmeat GF makes an appearance, and so does Commander Palantir, who likely did the Hutton run while he had a frozen Findus ready meal in the oven. Stargoid, 2 runs, 29 minutes, 32 seconds. Oceloran, 29 minutes, 35 seconds. Core Badger, 1 hour, 3 minutes, 12 seconds. Deadmeat GF, 1 hour, 26 minutes, 33 seconds. And Palantir, 1 hour, 27 minutes, 39 seconds. And that's it for this week. Happy trucking!
In a galaxy where even the bravest pilots occasionally require the comfort of a faithful companion, Hutton Orbital has announced the launch of its new Hutton Veterinarian Service. Not to be confused with the Hutton Octogenarian Service, which caters to our more venerable human resident. This innovative service ensures that our furry friends can receive urgent medical attention at warp speed, thanks to state-of-the-art Hutton Pet Ambulance. The Hutton Pet Ambulance, powered by the legendary pilot Stargoid, is a marvel of modern engineering. Stargoid, known across the galaxy as the fastest Hutton runner, okay, second fastest now, has loaned his name and his considerable piloting skills to this life-saving venture. Capable of performing both the Kessel Run and the infamous Hutton Run in record time, this vessel ensures that no poorly pooch is left waiting. Wilma Fingerdoo, Hutton's chief correspondent, had the chance to tour the new facility.
The Hutton Veterinarian Service is a testament to the care and dedication we have for our companions,
she remarked.
With a full suite of medical equipment, including zero-gravity grooming stations and anti-grav kennels, this is a haven for any pet in need.
The service was inaugurated with a demonstration of the pet ambulance's capabilities. Witnesses reported seeing the sleek, Stargoid-piloted craft leaving Hutton Orbital in a blur, only to return mere moments later with a bewildered but relieved kitten in tow.
I barely had time to down my gin,
commented one observer.
That ambulance is faster than a greased Thargoid in a Teflon hot plate.
Gusto, Hutton's resident pet commentator, couldn't help but chuckle at the spectacle. We've all seen Stargoid break records before, but this time he's really outdone himself. Not only is he the fastest, but now he's the fluffiest hero in the galaxy. The pet ambulance's design includes various compartments tailored to different species, from the tiniest rodents to the largest canine. Equipped with cutting-edge stasis pods and emergency medical holograms, it ensures that every pet receives top-notch care during their rapid journey.
We've seen lots of amazing technology here at Hutton,
says Normus Knockers.
But this takes the biscuit, or should I say, the dog biscuit. Whether it's an evil biomorphic hamster with a hiccup or a dog with a dodgy leg, the Hutton Veterinarian Service is ready to respond.
As the galaxy continues to expand and the dangers of space persist, Hutton Orbital remains committed to the well-being of its inhabitants, both human and otherwise. The new Veterinarian Service and its Stargoid-powered pet ambulance symbolise that commitment, proving once again that Hutton Orbital is the heart, and now the caring paws, of the galaxy.
Welcome back to this week's Pop Pick of the Systems, the movers and the shakers, the winners and losers of the Hutton System BGS chart. Well, it happened. The expansion is over and we now have a presence in 47 systems. Who is the new addition to the Hutton family? It's Gnui, home of Gnus, gnarly gnomes and possibly even the Gnosis. Anyway, that's the good news. The rest is a bit, well, rubbish really. There's a K-type star and 4 gas giants with a selection of icy moons and a couple of rundown outposts. It also belongs to the CIA, so not a system we would pursue anyway. Plus, it's a bit of a tip. The next one will be ours. Speaking of systems which are ours, let's get started with the high rollers. At the top of the table, with warning lights blinking all over the place, is LHS 340 on 69%. Although that's always a very funny number, we really need it settled down so we could whoever picked up a meal deal in the spaceport there, please put those items back on the shelf. There are a couple of others which are over the 60% influence limit we're happy with, so if you could leave those alone to settle then, we would be very grateful. Apart from that, it's mainly a lot of non-states. George Pantatis, Wolf 359, Ross 671, Epsilon Eridani, Cockery, 36 Opiuchi, and Narensis are all in boom, which is nice. Wolf 629 and LHS 3531 are having elections. Barnard Star are having investment, civil liberty, and a public holiday. There are a couple of little wars and things going on in systems controlled by other player factions, so we really don't want to get involved in those. But what does it all mean? Well, if you want to chuck it when you're in, well, you're in your. That again. Well, if you want to chuck it, then you're in luck. Run missions for Hutton in Wharf 629 and LHS 3531 for that big election win. We don't have Hutton-owned facilities in either system at the moment, so this is a chance for you to make a name for yourselves. You can also chuck in commodities and run non-combat missions in any of those boom systems. If you're going to Barnard Star, home of the Barnard Star Dockers, then take condoms. Things can get pretty racy in the bars during public holidays and civil liberty states. Really though, you want to be shipping commodities in and running missions. Investment is like a supercharged boom state, so take advantage while you can, which is also what happens in the bard during public holidays. If you want to shoot stuff, then there's not much doing. As always, when this happens, we would suggest helping Vulcarius and company to wipe out Thargoid Titans for fun, profit, and maybe even infamy. Right, my brain hurts. I'm off for a lie down.